Compromise is a way of life in Washington, D.C. Ladies and gentlemen, I have heard that many times, and I've experienced the consequences of it many times during my ministry days in our nation's capital. In fact, I've noted something over the last 18 years that God has allowed me to minister there in some capacity, and that is this. When you enter the offices of some of the incredible people who serve us on Capitol Hill, and believe me, we do have some that are absolutely amazing in their commitment to the Constitution, their commitment to truth. But when you walk into the office of one of those that is so committed, you will find many times they latch onto you, and sometimes I mean literally, they grab onto you, seeking as much time as possible with you in order to draw as much strength from you as they possibly can. The reason? Because compromise is a way of life in Washington, D.C. Now, many times Dr. Gary Dull has been with me, and we have sat in the offices of men and women who serve there in the United States Congress, the United States Senate, and they will say this: you have to give something here in order to get something. And while that can be good at times, it can be negative if you surrender or compromise your core. And there, ladies and gentlemen, hearkening back to what Gary said in the last segment, if truth is surrendered in an attempt to compromise, then we've stepped over the line. You cannot give away your core. Truth can never be compromised. So, Sam, I want to go to you. You have served in political office for 18 years. And in this segment, we're talking about compromise politically. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Does it really matter? You've seen every possible political scenario that can just about occur, I'm sure. What in your mind, Sam, as you're debating and trying to find where you can offer a concession to the other side in order to get something done, what are the elements that are non-negotiable to you, the core things that can and should never be compromised?
Dave, it's a fantastic area. Let me answer as quickly as I can here. I'm going to go back and pick up the word truth, as Gary said earlier, and you just reaffirmed. That is where, when you talk about values, giving up something of substance, it's the matter of truth, and I'm going to put it in two categories that can never be, let's put it this way. Matters of truth can always be compromised, but that's wrong. That's evil compromise. You can't ever give up those things. And for somebody in office, they fall into one or two categories. One, I would put in a category of moral truth. Moral truth are those things that, from a simplistic perspective, that the Ten Commandments. They are what hang behind the benches of most all state Supreme Court desks. So anybody in office or down in Washington, they see the Ten Commandments. They should not take their eyes off of that, because they represent the body of law, moral law, that they, in that position of being in public office, are either agreeing to or compromising away. So moral truth, if God says it, then that's the standard. That can never be compromised and be legitimate, acceptable compromise. The second is compromise according to the truth of the Constitution, the matter of civil law. Every person who goes into office, whether they are a believer or not, take an oath to support and to defend the Constitution of the United States. That's a promise. That is a covenant with the American people. If the provisions of the Constitution are ever compromised, and it happens all the time, it is not legitimate, and it is dead wrong. So I'll just stop right there for a minute, Dave. I'll just leave those as the two anchor points: the truth, moral truth, according to God's word, and civil truth, according to, in our country, the Constitution, to which every person in office takes an oath to support and to defend.
So, Sam, what you're saying is this: if someone is pressured to concede, to offer a concession in any way, to any degree, on one of those two things, moral truth or a commitment to the constitutional truth, if they give at all on either one of those, they've done wrong.
That's exactly correct. And I can take one step further. If they are asked to do it by leadership, and that it happens all the time. Leadership actually goes to people who are in the Senate and the House in positions of authority where they're going to vote, and they actually lead them to the path of asking them to compromise on those substantive issues. Most of the time, Dave, other than going back in the history of our country when we were debating the elements of the Constitution, there was a great compromise back there. Those are some very principled things, but most of the compromise we see today They're small little things, but what they're continually asked to do are to compromise moral truth and to compromise provisions of the Constitution. In effect, we have a system of bribery, Dave, that has entered in, that have used compromise as a something that is a good thing that we have to do, but really what they're asking to do is more bribery. You either compromise major values or we will punish you or something of that type. So there's a whole different area of aspect that's entered into this whole thing now, not just what you're doing, but even to those who are asking you to do certain things or else. It's the system that has to be addressed also, not just the matter of the two principles of concessions, one party or the other party.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you understand what you're listening to is as clear a statement as can be made with respect to what is right, what is wrong, with respect to political compromise. Why do we have situations like we have today with members of the FBI and these missing text messages and this seeming anti-President Trump bias, even to the point, not just the bias, but to the point of being persuaded to do things that are potentially illegal, to examine someone else in a way that is just illegal? Why would people surrender their core and commit to do something like that, as it appears some of these folks have done? It's because they have been pressured by those above them to do exactly what Sam is saying and what we are saying is wrong to do, and that is to compromise moral truth or certainly constitutional truth. Gary, you have been involved in state and local government from an advice standpoint for decades, as well as on the national level. You've counseled many a politician, and I know for a fact that many of those that run for office, have run for office, even those that are considering running for office in the future, come to you for counsel, advice, even for your support. So you have lived in this world for a long time, though you've never been a politician yourself. I want to ask you this question. What advice have you given to political leaders who live constantly under this pressure that Sam is talking about to compromise where they should not do so?
Well, Dave, I often give counsel not only to politicians, but anybody for that matter, that it's important to have a good set of core values and then live according to those core values. I mean, we were talking in the last segment about making certain that we do not compromise truth. Well, in order to have solid truth, we need to have the right core values that are based upon biblical truth, the Word of God. And I often go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 because I think that in Philippians 4 and verse 8, we see a list of core values that should guide us, whether we are in politics or not, when it comes to making decisions. You remember that verse. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And of course, the challenge of that verse is that we should seriously consider these matters and make them a part of our lives. I've often said that when you put those values together that are talked about there in Philippians 4 and verse 8, you really have, as it were, a description of the holiness of the character of God. And so when it comes to working with those who are in office and different times in counseling with them, I've taken them right here to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, and I've encouraged them to have good core values based upon those verses. Put everything through the sieve of that particular verse, put everything through the sieve of that verse, and then make decisions that will be virtuous and honorable.
Gary, that is not only expounding a passage of Scripture, Philippians 4:8, that is a beyond applicable way to address it and apply it in this situation of a politician running for office. Sam, we have just a couple of minutes left. We've talked about bad compromise, that which is totally inappropriate. It is wrong. It is sinful. And that is if someone were to compromise moral truth or constitutional truth or even be asked to do so, that is wrong. Can you give us, Sam, maybe from your 18 years of experience, or maybe rip something out of the headlines today that's going on in D.C., and give us an example of what would be an appropriate political compromise?
Boy, Dave, I could go a number of different areas. Let me just pick up one real quick in which I was fully engaged. You got the issue of gambling. Let me take that. It's not on a Washington level, but it's on a cross-state level. gambling. You'd have to say, all right, is gambling biblical? All right, I'm going to go to the point and say, no, it's not, for a lot of reasons. However, this is what it is. A lot of states have chosen to do that for a long time, and this would be an improper one. Yeah, a state having never done that, somebody comes up and says, we would like to put in gambling, and we're going to do it in the bars, casinos, we're going to put it in any place that you can imagine, and someone says, nope, that's too much. And so they come down and say, well, all right, we won't do it, all of them right now. We're going to take and just do it in a few saloons or bars across the state. Right now, the compromise position would say, well, I can vote for that because it's not going everywhere, but you opened up the door for it to go in and you know it will expand. That would be an example where compromise would be illegitimate and wrong because you've opened the door for something that in every regard is immoral and wrong, even though you didn't make as bad a vote by putting in everywhere.